Thank you, Jesus. You know, when you've been around somebody a long time, you realize how much like you start thinking. I had planned on sharing that story that Laverne did about what I went through a few days ago. And I won't repeat it, but I will say a little more about what was said to me. Add a few more words that she left out. That voice on the inside of me, after I thought about all the things I used to do and all the years that I put into the ministry, and I mean, you know, when things down here at the church, something need doing, I just did it. Call somebody and have them come help me or whatever. And I thought, I got to thinking about that, and now I got this little voice, you know, well, you're not very useful now. Too much. Hallelujah. Okay. And God said, that little voice on the inside of me said, I've never loved you because of what you've done. I've loved you because of who you are. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Hallelujah. And you know, we were I'd make some notes this morning to keep this short. We were talking about when Kim shared a testimony about the doctor that worked on her stepmother being considered the best neurologist in the country. Well, I had a similar experience in 2012 when I was in the hospital for the first colon surgery. Didn't have anything to do with my surgery, but while I was there in the hospital, I had a lot of problems. I mean, I had some serious problems with my right knee. I mean, it swelled up. They had to take fluid off of it. It was so painful. I mean, it was, and it just happened to be there in the hospital, an orthopedic surgeon that was considered one of the best orthopedic surgeons in the country. And he came by my office, the house doctor that I had that there in the hospital, talked to him. He came by my room and he looked at me, and of course he said, now there ain't going to be anything, can't do anything now. But they already told me that it was bone on bone. And, but when you get over this and you get your strength back and all like that, we'll contact him. He said, I want to do the surgery if you had to have it. Or when you have to have it. Wouldn't matter if, it's when you had to have it. And I praise God that he was one of the great orthopedic surgeons that you could find. But you know, this is 2017. This is 5 years later. I never did have that doctor operate on my knee. I never did anything to it. But 5 years later, and during these five, after I got out of the hospital in 2012 until now, that knee has not bothered me. Amen. And you know anything about knees, you know that if it's bone on bone, it's not going to sit there for 5 years and not growl at you. Something happened, and whoever that great orthopedic surgeon was, somebody better than him. Amen. Got a hold of me, the great physician. And I praise God for it. Praise the Lord. If you want to turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 9, now, I want to give you a little story here. I'm not going to read all the scripture, but this starts out with Jesus and his disciples. And It's labeled at the beginning of the chapter, Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And so he's up there with Peter, James, and John, and that's when Moses and Elijah appear, and they have a good, glorious time. But then he comes back down off of the mountain. His disciples that were there and then go up on the mountain with him, they were discussing something with a bunch of the Pharisees. And the problem was that there was a man there that brought his son who had a demon, a deaf and dumb spirit, and his disciples could not cast it out of him. And so the man came to Jesus for help. He said, your disciples couldn't help me. And I want you to know this. I'm your pastor. But in the sense of what I'm saying now, I can't help you. I can't make any of you well. But I know somebody that can. And he's given me authority to act. But don't put your faith in me. I hope you have confidence in me, but your faith needs to be in Jesus Christ. And in verse 21, Jesus coming to the Father, he says, so he asked his Father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And you know, it's stronger because Jesus said, what do you mean if I can? If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And my message this morning would be entitled, Help My Unbelief. When any situation comes, how do we deal with it? I mean, you can't avoid them. You have to deal with them. Situations come in your life, you have to deal with them. How do we deal with them? There's only two ways that we can deal with them. One of them is either belief or unbelief. One of them is belief, the other is unbelief. Every situation, belief and unbelief. But what does unbelief do? What did the man mean when he said, help my unbelief? Now we know what he wasn't asking Jesus to make his unbelief stronger. He was asking Jesus, help me get over this unbelief. Help me get over this unbelief. And I'm going to tell you something. Doesn't matter who you are in here this morning. Doesn't matter if you listen to this on the internet. At some point or sometime, you're going to have to deal with your unbelief. Now, in the process of this message, we'll get into what belief is and what faith is. But right now, I want to do this. I want you to look and listen at what does unbelief foster? In other words, what happens when unbelief's at work? Now, there are three things I want to look at. And anything else you can think of, you can put it in a subheading on one of these three. The one thing that unbelief causes is doubt. Doubt. You know what doubt is? Doubt is not trusting. Matthew chapter 14. fellow named Peter, saw Jesus walking on the water, said, I want to come to you. I want to walk on the water with you. Jesus said, well, come on. So he got out of the boat and he started out there. And he saw the wind and the waves and everything, and he thought all at once, my, what have I got myself into? See, he didn't have any trouble getting out of the boat. It's just after he got out of the boat and was in the situation for a while, he got to thinking about it. And he began to doubt. But when he saw his problem, he said, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus, verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Do you ever doubt that things are going to turn out right? You have situations, circumstances, and you doubt that it's going to be favorable? You shouldn't be doing that. We need to do what we can to get rid of doubt. Because doubt is unbelief. Now, O ye of little faith. Now, let me give you a little summary of that. I want you to take it wrong. When he told Peter, oh, you of little faith, he wasn't questioning Peter's quantity of faith. You don't have any faith. Yes, you do. If you're a believer, you have faith. God has given to every man the measure of faith. When you were born into the kingdom of God, you were born with God's DNA. That's how you can test the DNA on a baby and compare it with the parents and you find out who's actually the father of it. I mean, you know, if a woman had the baby, she knows his mother. But there will be a match in the DNA. Now, when did that take place? Did it develop as that baby was growing and getting older and bigger? It was there to begin with. Everything that baby had, everything that he would ever be, was given to it by the DNA of his parents. I mean, you know, did any of you get to fill out a form saying how tall you'd like to be? What color eyes you'd like to have? What kind of hairstyle? Short, long? Curly, straight, red, gray. Nobody asks those kind of questions. We get what the DNA in us produces. Now, if human DNA is that strong, if human DNA from the father stays with the child all of his life, and he got it to begin with, and we're humans, and we don't do too well with a lot of things, what about God's DNA in us? It's a whole lot different. And the faith, the measure of faith that we got, was given to us by our Father's DNA. We are born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And you know, Nicodemus knew what Jesus was talking about because he asked a question. How can I be born again? I can't get back in my mother's womb. But Jesus said, you're born from above. Oh, you of little faith. Why did you doubt? Well, if we had all the faith given to us that we needed, why won't it work? What Jesus was really saying here was not, you don't have much faith. He was saying, your faith is undeveloped. Your faith is not mature. It needs to grow up. It's not that you don't have it. So don't ever say, I don't have faith for that. Yes, you do. You may just have to build it up, but you do have that faith. But that's one of the things, the doubt, or that the unbelief will foster, is foster doubt. But the remedy for doubt is belief. And the way you get belief is by trusting God. Now, second thing that unbelief will foster is fear. Anybody in here that has never had fear try to come upon you in the last year? I don't think I'd have to give that big of a time period, but have you had to deal with fear? It's from unbelief. Lord, help my unbelief. When I'm fearing, I'm not believing. The remedy for fear is faith. And you have it. See, I'm trying to tell you something. You've got what I'm talking about. You don't need to pick it up on the way out. You just need to realize you've got it. By the grace of God. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. A sound mind. You know what a sound mind is? A sound mind doesn't mean you're not crazy. A sound mind means that you know how to think straight. You know how to think right. There's a lot of people that if you gave them a psychological test or they went to the psychiatrist, they would be found to be normal mentally. But when you start watching them and listening to them and having interaction with them, you begin to think that they don't know how to think. They're not thinking right. And it's not that they're crazy. It's not that they're some kind of mental incapacity. It's just that they allow themselves to think the wrong way. A sound mind thinks God's way. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Romans 12:1. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, when you get born again, you know a baby when he's born? A baby when he is conceived. Now that's another thing, that's a rabbit I could chase. But this thing with abortion and the people's idea that it's not a human until it's born. You test the first two cells that join. They have all of the DNA that baby will ever have. And that baby doesn't have some kind of a DNA that's not human. And then when it becomes time for it to be born, all of a sudden, now I'm human. But that baby has the mind that he will have. But it has to grow. Arms and legs are in that DNA. Hair is in that DNA. It's all there. It just has to be developed. But now that baby cannot think like he needs to think. Because he doesn't know yet what he needs to know. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you base your ideas and if you speak your mind based upon what the world is doing and what the world is saying, you're going to find yourself in a bunch of trouble somewhere down the road because you're not thinking right. You don't have a sound mind. The only way we get that sound mind would be by the renewing of your mind. Renewing. When you get saved, you're a child of God. You have the potential for everything in the kingdom of God, but you've got to pay a price and develop it. You've got to have food. You know, there are people and they give their hearts to the Lord and then for some reason or other think like, well, that's all I need to do. What if the mother gave birth to the baby and said, oh, well, that's all I need to do. What's that baby going to do? They're going to die. And it's sad to see people come to the Lord, pray the prayer of salvation, and then wander off and die of lack of nourishment. Because they don't ever go to church, they don't ever interact with people that are working to produce a sound mind. They go out here and find somebody whose mind is less sound than theirs, so they'll feel better about themselves. I'm serious. A lot of people do. They hang around people that they know can't measure up to them because it's too much of a problem to hang around people that you might have to measure up to. But I tell you what, with God, all things are possible. So when you start to fear, reach for some faith, because you got it. It's just that you've allowed it to, there's your faith, there's your fear. And you got to get that faith out from under that fear. And you got to realize that faith will move a mountain. Faith the size of a grain of mustard seed will move a mountain. You just got to start thinking that way. Now, here is the real and most prevalent way that unbelief fosters itself. It's called worry. Now, worry doesn't necessarily have to produce fear. It will a lot of times, but one thing worry will do is produce unbelief. Now, we could go to Matthew chapter 6 and we could read several scriptures through there about worrying and not worrying. You can't add one cubit to your stature by worrying. If you got a bill that's due, you cannot worry the money in. If you've got something in your body that needs to be healed, you can't worry in the healing. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you something else too. If you got a lost family, you cannot worry them into the kingdom of God. But sometimes it's hard for us to distinguish between when we need to worry and when we need to have faith. And I can tell you how to determine that. Just side with faith all the time and don't be doing the worrying. Worry is a natural product of unbelief in the human mind. You know what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says? Oh, what's the remedy for worry? Trust God. Trust God. You think these are two simple answers? Answers are not what our problem is. Our problem is trying to figure out which answer is the right answer. And too many times we've said, let's worry, and that wasn't the answer. Never is the answer. Now, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Lean not to your own understanding. Why? Because your understanding is probably polluted by what's going on around you and by the worldly situations and the fleshly things that you have to deal with every day. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Now, here's the problem. Sometimes we'll get on a path and we go down that path for 20 miles before we ask God to direct us. Let me ask you this. Why is it, generally speaking, when you get ready to make a trip and you don't know exactly where you're going, you know where you're going, but there's a distance to get from where you are to there. What do you usually do? You usually, if you don't know the way, you look at a map or you get your GPS. But you check it out before you start. If you were going to Los Angeles, would you start from here and go east? If you do, you're going to have to go all the way around this big earth to get to Los Angeles. But you've got 2,500 miles if you start west. Difference between 2,500 miles and 25,000 is which way you go. Take such and such a road. You ever get, well, so we're going to California. Maybe that's easy. We're going to Wyoming. Okay, so let's get in the car and start. So you get in the car, you're driving down the road, you've driven for a day, and then you decide, you know, I don't know if I know where I am or not. We better look at a map. We better find a spot and find out where we are. Now, I'm sorry, if you travel that way, you have a bad travel experience every time you go. Jimmy said you get to see more country. Yeah, you get to experience more situations too. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. Ask God first. Remember a story of a ship crossing the ocean and ran into some bad weather, really bad weather. There was this one little lady on there, and she was terrified. So she went to the captain and said, "Captain, what are we going to do?" He said, "Ma'am," said, just be calm. Said, "The ship's strong, we got a good crew, everything will be all right." Well, they kept on in the storm. And didn't seem to get any better, so she went and asked the captain again, what's happening? What's going on? Are we all right? He said, "Well, we've had to throw overboard some things, lighten the ship, but the crew's still working, and everything's going to be all right." So in a little while, she asked the question again because she couldn't see any change. He said, "Well, we're doing the best we can, but this storm has just about worn out my crew, but we're trying to hang on till it's over." Well, that didn't make her feel too good. So it got really bad, so she went back to the captain one more time. She said, "Captain, what are we going to do? What can we do? What are you doing?" He said, "Ma'am, all we can do now is pray." So her response to him was, "Oh God, has it come to that?" Why is it we operate that way? We do everything we can until it comes to the last thing we do is pray. When it should be the first thing we do. Now, you want to change unbelief to belief? You want to get rid of it like that man? He said, Lord, I believe. You can do anything. It's possible. But help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Rise above my unbelief. Unbelief in faults won't affect you unless it gets down into your heart and your heart stops believing. I'll tell you what. Back in February last year, oh boy, was I in a different situation last year today than I am now. But during that time, when I died, and when I came back, and when I was on the ventilator for 11 days, my wife, and I'm sure maybe a lot of you, but I know my wife never allowed unbelief to ever occupy a space in her thoughts. I may have told this here before, but I'll tell it again. Hey, the reason I never saw anything when I died, never saw any of the light, never anything, because Laverne was holding on me so tight, I never got far enough along to see anything. But anyway, what if when I died and her arms and my eyes rolled back and my heart stopped beating and all of the symptoms of death was upon me, what would have happened had she gone to pieces? Yeah. Now, everybody that dies, let's put it this way, everybody that dies doesn't get resurrected from the dead in this life. Sometimes you die and you're dead and somebody prayed for you to live, but you didn't live. But that doesn't stop you. It shouldn't stop you from, what's it like praying for somebody to get healed and they didn't get healed? You're going to stop praying? Well, they didn't get healed, so why pray anymore? You trust God. How do you change unbelief to belief? Simple. 5 minutes. Read the Word. Read the Word. Receive the Word as the Word. If you don't understand and believe that this Word is the Word of God and it does not need any updating or correcting, now, we may change it into a different version to make it easier understood. But there's just a couple of things. They're different in the reliable ones. Maybe a word out here, a word out there, but put it all together. You get one of these Bibles that says this wasn't included in such a manuscript. You know, you read a scripture and it says something there and says this wasn't included in the N or M manuscript. Just remember, when was the printing press? When was the printing press invented? I can't remember right offhand. Not necessarily the year, but the general time. Printing press, 1600, 1500? Huh? Okay, do you realize that every copy of the scriptures up until the printing press was made available in the 1500s, every copy of scripture had to be handwritten? Now, for them all to be as close as they are, somebody was paying attention. And there is nothing in the scripture that one scripture contradicts what another scripture says. It's just not in there. Now, our interpretation and understanding of it, the way we understand something, the way we've been taught it, where in the Word of God did it say, now this only operates for people until 300 A.D. After 300 A.D., don't pray in tongues anymore, don't believe in miracles anymore, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's passed away. You ever have people that you be talking to about something and they go to some other church is teaching something else and they'll say, well, that's passed away. Well, who told you? Did the Bible tell you it passed away or did some man? And like what I said in the bulletin this morning, don't judge the scripture by what a man says. Judge the man by what the scripture says. Read the Word. Well, I just don't get a lot out of it when I read it. Well, read it anyway. Pray in the Spirit while you read it, and you'll get more out of it. And you, well, I can't pray in the Spirit. Well, then get baptized in the Holy Ghost, and you can pray in the Spirit. It's amazing how the Bible changed when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it was all for the better. Didn't look at a scripture and say, wonder what that means. Look at a scripture and think about it for a while. I was like, oh, well, that's obvious. Read the Word. Secondly, believe what you read. Don't read it and say, well, that was back then. Don't read it and then read the... I won't say any particular books, but I got a book in my library, and I keep it just for the purpose of, it's got some crazy stuff in it. It's a commentary on the scriptures. And you'd be amazed at what these up-to-date people have done to scripture. I wouldn't give that book to anybody. And I certainly don't allow it to sway my thinking about things. I just read it to get opinions. And you read some of it, I just shake my head. You got to be kidding. You're educated. You went to seminary. You went to the wrong seminary. It's like at Liberty Mutual Insurance commercial on TV. The guy says, didn't cover because of my car. And the agent told me, you had the wrong coverage. He said, no, I had the wrong insurance company. Here's your coverage. But all your insurance companies won't tell you the whole story. They'll tell you your soul's covered. You're going to heaven when you die, but everything else here, don't bother God with it because he's not interested. All that's passed away. Believe what you read. Read the Word. Believe what you read. Finally, act on what you believe. Act on what you believe. And you know, you don't have to tell anybody that. Because you'll do it. You will act on what you believe. You just need to be believing the right thing. I don't know what I'm going to do. That's believing. You don't believe. You believe that you don't know what to do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know the answer to this problem because the Holy Spirit is in me and he knows all things. Act on what you believe. And you want, if you want to remember this little closing statement. By default, we all act on what we believe. That's why your believing needs to be right. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's what Paul told the Philippian jailer. Believe. Believe. Don't stop believing. And don't listen to the devil trying to talk you out of your faith and your relationship with God through Jesus Christ by showing you and telling you things you did wrong. The scripture says that I read from Jude, present us faultless. He can present us faultless. And you know how he does it? By getting rid of all of the things that we've carried all the way through life that have been burdens to us and that have been, you know, the dumb things that we do. And I'll tell you what, the smartest person in the world is capable of doing something dumb. And there is no Christian that is immune from messing up. But it isn't our works that makes us stand faultless before God. It's the fact that the blood of Jesus has washed them all away and God does not see them anymore. Thank you, Jesus. You ought to be excited about that. That you're faultless for God. Faultless. How would you say that in another way? What wasn't my fault? Wasn't my fault? Now, maybe we did something that we shouldn't have done, and it happened, but you got to understand what grace is. Grace covers it. Now, if you do it for him to do it to do good and do it to not to him, it's sin. You can't just say, well, I'm covered by grace, so I can do anything I want to. No. Then you've turned the grace of God into lewdness or lasciviousness. King James says, you wasted the grace of God and you haven't changed. Grace will change you. Belief will change you. Faith will change you. Fear, worry, and doubt will kill you. Don't do it. Don't do it. Let's stand. Bow our heads and close our eyes for just a minute. I want you to do a little faith release in here. I want you to push your unbelief down in the floor and step on it. Let faith arise from your heart because you got it. You're a child of God. You've got all the faith you need when you learn how to use it. And when you start having confidence in it. So let it rise up in you. And if you've got a specific thing that's going on that you need help with, you bring that up before God. And just as a sign that you have done that, take it as though it were in your hand and just lift your hand above your head. Stretch out your arm to God and say, here it is, Lord. I'm using my faith to get rid of this thing. I refuse to worry. I refuse to fear. I refuse to doubt because I know that my God is able. My God has made me a promise and he'll stick with that promise. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He'll take care of my health. He'll take care of my finances. He'll take care of my family. He'll take care of my loved ones. He'll take care of my job. He's just going to take care of me. And I don't have to worry or fear, because I'm a child of God and the Son of God and the Spirit of God lives in me. Therefore, I am an overcomer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen.